As I was preparing the sermon today, and I was thinking about coming through the Christmas holiday and thinking about all of the festivities and all of the money that's spent and everything else that goes on, and thinking about the gift that we all experience every day in the salvation that we exist within, the relationship that we have with God. And as I was thinking about the what to say to round out the year and to begin 2008, I was thinking of a country song. And now that we live in Tennessee and we're so close to Nashville, I have a new appreciation for country music and Music Row and all that kind of, there's a song that is out, and I don't know how new it is, but it's by Kenny Chesney, and it's called "Don't Blink." Have you heard that song? It's a great song. He starts out this song by talking about coming home and watching television and seeing on the news this guy who's like 102 years old, and he talks about his life, and they're interviewing this guy on television, and they're saying, what's it like being 102? And I've asked Frank that same question, and he kind of gave me the same answer that, it goes by faster than you think. And you think about that, being 102 years old, it goes by quicker than you think. But as I was preparing this and thinking about it, I remember even, the words of my oldest son, Hayden, this week as we talked about New Year's and things coming up. And he said, "Man, Dad, this year really seems like it's flown by." And Hayden, in his wisdom, he said, "The older I get, it seems like the faster the years go by." I said, "Well, son, at 12, I can imagine that it seems like it's really speeding up. And at 36, it seems like it's getting even faster." And Frank can tell you that, 160, it going even quicker. But doesn't it just seem like the years go by? I mean, I was just preaching a sermon on the year that we just had, 2006. And here I am preaching a sermon on the year that we had, 2007, a look back. And it is important to remember what has happened in our lives. It's important to look back at the year that was. It's so important to come to these moments as quickly as they come, to take an opportunity to think about the year that we just went through, all of the ups and downs, everything that just happened in this brief, quick blink of an eye that we call a year, 365 days that just goes by like that. It's important to remember what's happened. It's important to take time and reflect as we go forward. The word "remember" appears more than 160 times in our Bible. It's important for us to remember the things in our life. God tells us more than 160 times to remember. Now, He tells us to remember different things. He tells us to remember the good things that happen in this life. He tells us to remember the bad things that happen, the times that weren't so good. He tells us to remember the challenges that we've had, all of the adversities and the obstacles that we face. He tells us to remember the sustaining help that He gives us along the way. And He tells us to remember, as we revere the name of the Lord and the words that come from His mouth, He tells us to remember things, reflect on things. It seems to be the common downfall of mankind, this lack of remembrance, this lack of reflecting. If we don't remember the past, we're doomed to repeat it. We seem to become hyper-focused on right now. If you look at all of the things, the ills and the evils of the world, it seems like, it seems like the thing to do at the time. Have you heard that? Without any consideration, without any reflecting on what has come before, or certainly any consequences that are to come afterward. It just, thinking about and reflecting and remembering, we're all just really concerned about right now, and decisions are not made based on past experiences or future consequences. But God seems to be thematic in His approach to hasten us towards remembering. God over and over again. When people get to a specific place in their life, God always says, remember. Whether it's remember the good that you just went through, remember the bad that you just went through, remember the way I did this, remember these things over and over and over again. As I read scripture and as I study it, my Bible is littered with circles and different markings. And I like to pick up on all of the themes and the patterns and everything else. You know, the way that God teaches us and seems to just drill into our minds and drill into our hearts and drill into our souls the things that He wants us to really latch onto. And this theme of remembering is huge. Over and over again, God calls us to remember. But we must remember all aspects of our life. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I kind of have a selective memory. You know, my wife accuses me of having selective hearing. You know, I hear things that I want to hear, and I don't hear things like, you know, hey, take out the trash, or, you know, what have you. But we have not only selective hearing, but we have selective memories. God wants us to remember everything. He wants us to remember all that we need to. You know, my children are that way. They remember the things that they want. They remember the good things that I tell them. But they, you know, I asked them, you know, why didn't you do this? Well, I forgot. But they never forget when I tell them, hey, the next time we go to Walmart, we're going to pick so-and-so this up. And they remind me of those things. But then when I say, why didn't you clean up your room? Well, I forgot that you told me to do that. Why didn't you do your homework? Well, I forgot that you told me to do that. I forgot. But hey, when are we going to Walmart next, Dad? You know, we have this selective memory. But God's calling us to remember everything that happens. In Exodus 13, 3 through 10, it's a big deal to God that we remember things. He says, then Moses said to the people, commemorate or remember this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with His mighty hand. Eat nothing containing yeast. Today, in the month of Abib, you are leaving. And the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the land that He swore to your forefathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey. You are to observe this ceremony this month. For 7 days, eat bread that is made without yeast, and on the seventh day, hold a festival to the Lord. Eat unleavened bread during those 7 days. Eat nothing with yeast in it and seen among you, nor shall you eat any yeast or be seen anywhere within your borders. On that day, tell your son, I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. You see, God's bringing His people. He's delivering, you know, the plagues have just happened. He's delivering His people from generation after generation after generation of slavery. And so He institutes this Passover feast, and there's all these rules and regulations, and it all comes down to this. We do this for no other reason. Not because God has anything against yeast. Not because He likes flatbread over bread that has risen. He makes a big deal about things because above everything else, He wants us to remember. In Deuteronomy 5 and 15, in the Ten Commandments, starting in verse 12, He says, observe the Sabbath day. Remember this. If you memorized all the Ten Commandments in the King James, the NIV says, observe the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. He doesn't say, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. He says, remember it by keeping it holy. He says, work, do all of the work you had to do in 6 days. But then there comes a seventh day, and on that day, rest and remember God. There's a whole entire day, a whole day every week that God has set aside. Not because, you know, God's just got this thing about resting. Now, although there is a lot of physical benefits and spiritual and mental benefits for us to really take a break and to not just work all the time, He doesn't want us to be dependent on the work of our hands. But more than anything else, we have a day to remember God. I mean, He's built it in to every week we live. 52 times a year, if we'll take Him up on His offer, we can remember Him for an entire day. You think it would be easy to remember God every day if at least one day was all about Him? I mean, just all about that. That's why he said don't work. Not because, you know, he wants us to have anything, you know, for no other reason, but to remember him. Don't clutter this day with anything but God, so that you can remember. You spend one whole day a week focused on God, it will be easier to spend the rest of the week focused on God. That's why. All of the laws that he gives us, they're for a reason, but he wants us to remember. Deuteronomy 7, 17 through 18. We face challenges in our lives that back us down. And God delivers us. He says, you will say to yourselves, these are nations that are stronger than we are. This is where they're going into the land. He says, you'll see nations stronger than we are. How can we drive them out? Don't be afraid of them. Remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh, all to Egypt. See, God knows that we're going to come up against challenges in our life that's going to seem insurmountable. Well, you see, 400 years of slavery would seem insurmountable. God inflicting plagues upon a nation and delivering his people, dividing the Red Sea and having his people walk through on dry land. You know, those are pretty amazing things, but God knows that there are going to be other challenges. And if we don't remember how he brought us through, we won't face those challenges. Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 5. As we consider where we are in life and how we've come to be at that place, he says in verse 1, be careful to follow every command that I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord has promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you, to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you all that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during those 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. As we think back, as we remember, as we follow the theme and the pattern set for us in Scripture, and we strive never to forget, I want to share with you three aspects of our life that we must remember, that we've got to focus on and reflect on in order to be the people that God has called us to be. The first thing that we have to remember is our failures. One of the things that we certainly don't want to think about. You know, there are plenty of things that I do on daily, especially if I'm thinking back on all of 07, I can promise you there are things that I really would just rather forget. There are things that I said. There are things that I've done. There are ways that I treated my brothers and sisters in Christ that I promise you I just assume never, ever remember ever again. And I would really have that they would never remember it. But we got to remember our failures. Remembering our failures helps us not to repeat them. You know, if I think about, you know, now I'm not going to dwell on, I'm not going to define myself by these failures. I'm certainly not going to go through this without holding the hand of God along the way and praying about it. But I certainly don't want to repeat them. If I forget the things that I've done wrong, then that's going to be the case. Remembering our failures reminds me that I need help. It keeps me exactly where I need to be, and that is constantly coming back to God for the help that I need to overcome all of the shortcomings of my life. You see, the problem, though, with remembering our failures is that we have to be willing to hear things that we don't want to hear. You know, I want to be a great father. I want to be a good dad. And so I ask my kids all the time about things how did this work out? Discipline and how, you know, because I want the things that I say to them to be effective. I don't want to just be this ineffective disciplinarian. So I ask them a lot of times and I ask them with the desire to know, how did you feel when we were talking about this and what was going, you know, was that effective? And let me tell you, sometimes the answer I get when I really want to be productive and I want to be, you know, self-evaluating, sometimes the answers I get are not always the answers I want to hear. I want to hear, you know what, Dad, that was a great speech you gave me right there. Man, that was awesome. It really hit home. I got a lot out of it, and I appreciate you looking out for me like that. It's not always the case. A lot of times I got to hear, you know, Dad, you really lectured me for about a half an hour on something, and I can't even remember what you were talking about. You know, that really wasn't a good time, Dad. It was really tough for me to listen to you and learn from you right then, because you just sort of could have waited about an hour or 2 hours or maybe a day later, and that would have really helped me out even more. It's hard to hear the things that we don't do right. It's hard to hear about our failures. But in Psalm chapter 119 and verse 65, David says, "Do good to your servant according to your word, O Lord. Teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I believe in your commands." If I want to learn knowledge, if I want to have good judgment, I got to be willing to be afflicted. I got to be willing to hear things that are difficult for me to hear. David said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I obey your word." See, the time when I reflect back on the things that I didn't do right, I can remember before I knew that I wasn't doing right, I had no ability to do what was right. I had no ability to do what God was calling me to do. He goes on to say, "You are good and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. Though the arrogant have smeared me with lies, I keep your precepts with all my heart." It was good for me to be again. He says, it was good for me to be afflicted. It was good to hear the stinging words of the things that I didn't do exactly the way that you wanted me to do, so that now I obey your word. Another thing that we need to remember is our successes. Not only do we need to remember the things that we did wrong, not only do we need to remember and strive not to repeat the failings, but we need to remember the times that we got it right. This is what we like to do in other areas of our life. Don't we assess the successes in business? Don't we assess the successes that we've had in other areas of life? Why in the world is it so difficult for us to take stock and to remember the successes that we've had spiritually? We have a hard time doing this. You see, remembering our successes does not mean that we're prideful. A lot of times we, you know, as Howard was praying and talking in our devotion about our communion, and that's taking communion together is a very humbling experience, because just as he prayed, we're not able to do this because of any goodness in any of us. It is out of the absolute pure compassion and mercy and the grace of God that we have the privilege of holding in our hands a representative of the body of Christ. And we have the opportunity to hold in our hands a little cup that has grape juice in it that represents the blood of our Savior. And I don't get to do that, and you don't get to do that, because we're such good people. It's all about God's grace and compassion and mercy and His love for us. And I think a lot of times when we think about spiritually the things that we did right, the things that we got right, the successes in our spiritual life, it's hard for us to do that because we think, well, I don't want to become prideful. I don't want to think for a second. Doesn't Ephesians tell us that it's a gift? It's not by any good thing that I've done but that's right. We're saved by the grace of God. But along the way, we have successes spiritually that we need to think about and we need to remember. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, God tells His servant, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." You see, God wants us. Excuse me. God wants us to be successful spiritually on this earth. He wants us to remember all of the things that He's told us to do. He wants us to be successful and to remember those times so that we will continue to be strong and courageous. So that we will continue to do the things He's called us to do. I have a question for you. Do you want God to change your heart? I mean, it's okay to nod or even say yes or praise the Lord or clap. Or, I mean, you want God to change your heart, to make you a better person. Do you want to be an imitator of God, as we're told in the book of Ephesians? Do you want to reflect His glory more and more every day? How do you know that you are changing? Unless you remember the things you get right. I mean, how do you know? Unless on a daily, weekly, monthly, especially a year, at this time of year, on a yearly basis, how do you know that you're reflecting His glory, that you're being an imitator, that He's changing your heart, that He's taking that heart of stone and replacing it with a heart of flesh? Unless you think about the times that I swung and I hit the ball. Not that I, oh, thank you. You are the bomb. That was a success right there. You got it right. Not always thinking about the times that we swing and miss, but thinking about the times that we got it right. How amazing it is to see God at work in our life, to see Him doing what it is that He tells us He's going to do, and remembering those successes. In Ephesians 3:20, we're told that it is He who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ever ask or imagine. Well, if we're not thinking about and remembering the times that we get it right, how can we ever imagine the good things that He can do? If all that we think about is, oh, I'm just this poor, lowly worm, servant, you know, if that's all we're considering is the things we get wrong, then how can we imagine a wonderful ministry, a God-glorifying experience? If you look at the deliverance experience that the Jews of the Old Testament they had, if they would have remembered listening to God, and when He told them to leave, if they would have remembered the plagues and leaving Egypt, they would have never worshipped the golden calf. If they would have remembered the pillar of smoke and the pillar of fire, they would have never cried out against Him at the banks of the Red Sea. And if they would have remembered the Red Sea, they would have never rebelled the borders of Canaan. We've got to remember the times when we get it right. Remember the successes so that we can strive to repeat those. The third aspect that we need to remember is that God is in the middle of both of those. Whether our failures or our successes, God is there to make them both good. You see, our failures test us to determine not only who we are, but whose we are. Remember in Deuteronomy 8 that I just read a moment ago. Look in verse 2. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years. Now remember the story here. They get right up to the promised land. I mean, they've had all these amazing experiences. They get right up there. They go into, you know, they're right up to the land, the borders of the land of Canaan. And you know the song, the 10 were bad and 10 were bad and 2 were good. I always got to remember the hand motion. You know, they send the spies in and they come back with the mixed report. Oh, we can't do it. But then there's 2 guys that say we can. So he says, hey, if y'all don't, after all this, if y'all don't believe, every one of you are going to die in the desert. I'm going to raise me up a generation with some faith. So they wander in the desert for 40 years, waiting for all them backsliding, faithless people to die so that their children can inherit their land. He said, remember how the Lord your God led you in the one of the biggest failures to date. God's leading them. See, God's right there in the middle of the times when we get it wrong. Doesn't Psalm 23 say something about, even when I'm walking in the shadow of the valley of death, you're with me. You comfort me. Now, there's a lot of ways to look at that verse, but one time that we walk in the valley of the shadow of death is when we're getting it wrong. And God's right there leading us the entire way. In verse 4, He sustains us. Your clothes did not wear out. Your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Think about camping in the desert and walking for 40 years. I mean, don't you think you'd go through a couple pairs of shoes? Don't you think you'd go through some clothes? At what point did you realize, you know what? It's what we left Egypt in. At what point do you realize God is leading us in the middle of one of the greatest letdowns in the history of His people? Our failures can humble us. And we have the opportunity to remember that we are alone, that we alone are nothing. You see, character, I've heard this so often, character is not made, it is revealed. Character is revealed in our failures and in our successes. You see, because our success also tests us. I believe that nowhere is character tested more than when we're successful. Isn't that the point of Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 10? When God says, hey, you guys are going to get into this land. You're going to be successful. And when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord for the good land that He has given. Be careful that you not forget the Lord your God. Failing to observe His commands and His laws and His decrees. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when your herds and your flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. See, success tests our character sometimes more than failure does. And He says, remember the Lord lest you forget. And success should also humble us. Not only should failure humble us, but praise God that success can do the same thing, because praise Him that He would use someone like me. Praise Him that He would see fit to write things like 2 Corinthians 4 and 7, where He says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, in jars of clay. You see, again, you know, I'm a lot like my kids. Remember when you're a kid, you'd get like this little, you know, little box or a little tin can or something, and you know, maybe had a lid on it, maybe whatever. But remember putting your most prized possessions, your treasures, in a little tin box or a coffee can or something like that. And then if you lost it, remember what you would ask your parents, what my kids asked me, hey, have you seen my tin can? Or have you seen my treasure box? Not mentioning the treasure inside, but they're always looking for the vessel because they know what it holds. I have a wallet that costs me about $12. But what do I ask Vicky for every morning? I don't ask her, hey, have you seen my debit card, my driver's license, and my, you know, bank card? Yeah, you know, I don't ask her that. I say, honey, have you seen my wallet? It costs like $12. It's nothing. But it's important because of what's inside. My kids have tin cans and little boxes hidden all over my house. And they're important to them because of what they hold inside. Because of that $2 bill that Paw gave them. Because of that, you know, that little trinket, that pen, that button that they found. It's important because of what's inside. And praise God that we are important because of what is inside. Our success ought to humble us. That God has chosen to sovereignly reach down and within each one of these broken jars of clay, these broken little tin cans that we are. And He has put this amazing treasure inside of each one of us. We are successful and worthy because of what He has done. As we enter into 2008, let us remember 2007, lest we forget. Remember the good times. Remember the bad times so that we don't repeat them as often. And remember that our God is with us in the middle of both. And He is walking us through both of those circumstances to His glory. And as we go through, and next week we will talk about all of the hope and all of the glory and all of the goals and the mystery that lies ahead of us. And as we go through the rest of this week, praise God for the opportunities that we've had. Praise God for the gift that He has given each one of us and the treasure that is within us, together as we stand and sing.